He's already done big things. How many know that? Amen. He's spoken. He has, hallelujah, as he comes and preaches the word of God.
And time goes quick. Seems like I just got here. It's already our last service. Amen. Been a good church to preach to. I appreciate Pastor Maribel, the friendship. Amen. The invitation to come. We've been friends for a long time. And he was a little hard-headed disciple at first, but he came out of it. Telling the story today, it was raining really bad. Mind if I tell that story? It's pouring down rain in Killeen. I'm pastoring there. And well, rain's coming in our building, so somebody has to fix it, right? So, it's raining. I said, Seuss, you got to get up there and fix it. He goes, it's raining. I go, so get up there and fix it. He's got it on his church clothes. He gets up there, faithful. Amen. He went up there and fixed it, come down, and went to dry service. Thank God for he did that. Amen. So, hallelujah. But, amen. Again, I appreciate you being faithful this week. If you got your Bible, 2 Peter 1. I want to challenge you tonight to use your faith, believe God, and see what God will do in your life. You know, the Wright brothers' first successful motorized flight lasted 12 seconds. And I don't know if you've ever YouTubed it and seen it. It wasn't a pretty sight. And they barely got off the ground. 12 seconds, it kind of crash landing. A lot of people were booing. A lot of people said, we're never meant to fly. You know, nothing's going to ever come out of this. And we're meant to stay on the ground. But the Wright brothers wouldn't listen to that, wouldn't believe it. And look today where we're at in plane travel. Man, we can get around the world today just in hours. But the key to airplane industry success was progress and development. It had to be developed. Amen. It started out small, but listen, through time, amen, and that's how faith works. Amen. It starts out small, but how many know we got to grow in our faith? God calls us and God challenges us through scriptures that we're not supposed to stay babies in the faith. We got to grow up in our faith. In our text, Peter's goal to the church is to succeed, be healthy, be strong, and evangelize the world. But for that to happen, one, we got to grow in our faith. Two, we got to mature in our Christianity. Three, we got to surrender to the will of God. So with that in mind, 2 Peter 1, you start reading with, we're going to read this in parts tonight. We'll read verse 1 through 4. Verse says, now, Simon Peter, a bondservant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through bless. Let's pray. Father, I'm asking you tonight, God, to break in this service. God, bless us. God, our faith would be increased. Help us, God, to believe you, God, to serve you, God, to enlarge our faith. God, always be willing, God, to do what you say. God, I pray, help us in the service tonight. God's people would say, amen. I've titled this sermon, Faith Plus, if you're taking notes, Faith Plus. This is the first thing, it takes faith. Peter says two things. One, he says, through his divine power, we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And two, we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises that through these we may be partakers of his divine nature. So faith is the door to God's divine nature and power tonight. Faith is the door. All through Scripture, people are always challenged. Every time God's going to do something, speak to somebody or move powerfully, it's always through the avenue of faith. It's through faith that we see the supernatural God work. 1 Kings 17, God tells Elijah to go to the brook Cherith, and he will see the miracles of God. Verse 2, says, and then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherub, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherub, which flows into the Jordan. And ravens brought him food and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Amen. These are miracle after miracles. God said, listen, Elijah, there's going to be a drought in the land. You're going to have to go to the brook Cherub, and you're going to have to stay there. But listen, there's water there. I've commanded ravens. God said, I've commanded these birds to bring you food or meat and bread in the morning and the evening. I mean, that's a miracle of God. They're one of the most greedy birds you've ever met. You ever seen them on the ground, and they're always tearing into fighting each other over a little piece of bread. But God said, I've commanded the ravens to bring food, meat and bread to you every morning and every evening. Amen. So it's an act of faith. Elijah believes God, goes to the brook, and it began to play out. So Elijah's seen the miracles of God. He entered into that divine nature of God. He began to see that by an act of faith. We're challenged over and over. We can't live off one act of faith, though, can we? Some miracles only last a short time. 1 Kings 17 says the brook Cherith is going to dry up. And Elijah's going to have to believe God to see another miracle. Verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was gathering sticks there. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. This is a dire situation. Amen. God speaks to him. Listen, again, his faith has to be involved there. God said, go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow to take care of you. She's going to feed you and house you, take care of you. And Elijah gets there. She's desperate. She's gathering two sticks or a few sticks. She got a little bit of oil, a little bit of meal. She said, we're going to make our last meal. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die. You know, the devil will always say, listen, God's not going to keep his promise. God's not going to honor your faith. But how many know God always does? Verse 13, Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. Afterwards, make some for yourself and for your son. For thus saith the God of Israel, the bin of flour will not be used up, nor the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Amen. So here it is. We're seeing an act of faith after one after another. And Elijah said, listen, I believe what God spoke to me. I want you to do exactly what I've said. Go, but make me a meal, a little cake first. Then make yourself. And he says, listen, it's not going to dry up. The oil is not going to dry up. The bin, God's going to bless you. God's going to help us here. And verse 15, and she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor the jar of oil run dry until according to the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So we're seeing miracle after miracle, but see, it took faith to get there. Amen. In our Christian life, it's going to take faith. Amen. To go from one place to the other place with God, it's going to take faith. And we have to learn early in our Christian life to obey the word of God and take them steps of faith. Listen, do you want to be partakers in God's divine nature tonight? How many wants to see the miracles of God in your life? You want to pray and you want to see God move. You want to have a testimony. Man, I believe God and God touched us. God moved. It takes acts of faith tonight. See, the good news is when God created us, He put a faith seed in us, and at salvation, that faith seed broke open. Every one of us tonight have what it takes to see the miracles of God. Every one of us tonight have what it takes to step out and see God move. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." So at salvation, faith begins, amen. And God has given into our hands tonight the ability to see God powerfully move through this avenue of faith. As believers, we're called to live by faith. Very simple. Ephesians 11:7, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Now think about this story here. If you ever read this, God speaks to Noah one day. It's never rained before, but God said, "Listen, Noah, it's going to rain. Water's going to come from heaven. I'm going to flood the world. Amen. I'm going to start over. I want you to build an ark." He's not building a little boat, fishing boat. Amen. He's building an ark. Amen. This took him 100 years. Imagine every day people are watching Noah build this massive ship on the ground. Amen. He's already preached the sermon. God's going to flood the earth. Amen. Water's going to come from the sky and it's going to rise. Everybody's going to die. Amen. But this ark, we're going to escape through the ark, and God's going to bring all the animals he wants on. So he's preaching for 100 years. Think about that. People are walking by, watching him. But Noah, incredible, man. He's got faith that God's looking for every day. He's not listening to the noise. What's Noah doing? It's crazy. It's never rained. Water's never fallen from heaven. But he's not listening to the noise. He faithfully, every day, for 100 years, adding aboard, making the ark what it needs to be. But how many know it rained one day? And the water came down, and then the people began to say, "Hey, Noah, let us in." It was too late. But listen, we're called to live by faith, whether it's one day or 100 days or 100 years. Noah's act of faith, he became a partaker of God's nature. Listen, Noah saved his family through faith. Just think if Noah would have said, "No, God, that sounds a little crazy," but Noah didn't, and his family was saved. Not only was his family saved, but God started over, through Noah. Amen. God started a new world through this man and his family. So faith is needed in our Christian life tonight. Hebrews 11, great chapter of faith. It says, "By faith, Israel, seeing the walls of Jericho fall." Now, the story behind this is the first city. The Red Sea's parted, amen. They've walked across on dry ground. They've crossed the Jordan River by now. And God's spoken to them, "We're going to give you the land of Canaan, man. This is all going to be yours." But the first city they come to is Jericho. And Jericho's a walled city, and it's an intimidating city. And, they're looking at this city, but what's the plan here? And God said, "I want you to walk around the city. I just want you to walk around the city once a day. On the seventh day, walk around 7 times. And the walls are going to fall down. You're going to go up and conquer the city." How many of us, it sounds crazy sometimes. God's way doesn't make sense into our human mind. But they obey God. Joshua told him, "Listen, walk around. Don't say anything. Walk around the city. Don't say a word. And the seventh day, we're going to walk around 7 times. At the last time, we're all going to begin to worship." And as they begin to worship, the walls fell down. Amen. And God's people conquered the city. That was an act of faith. Listen, through faith tonight, we conquer things. Faith invites the power of God to be alive in our lives. And through the power of God alive in our life, we become partakers of his divine nature. Think about all the testimonies that day. I mean, this is their first city. They're going to go in to Canaan. They're going to take a lot of land, a lot of city. And the testimony begin to be out, amen, through. And, amen, God knocked down these walls. And people just believe God and seen a miracle. And I'm telling you, as you begin to believe God, it touches your family. It touches the surroundings of your life. And it helps you. As powerful as faith is tonight, let me tell you, it's not enough. I want that to sink in. As powerful, as needed as faith is tonight, it's not enough. It's the starting point, but it's not enough. Not if we're going to have a strong, victorious Christian life and a strong, victorious church. Faith alone is not enough. You know, a tree planted in good soil is a start, right? But if we're going to see fruitfulness, the tree needs sun, needs water, nourishment, root support, needs pruning. A lot of things have to be added that tree's going to produce. In our text, Peter's wanting not only to see these people believe God, but he's wanting to see a strong church. He's wanting to see these people mature, do something for God. But faith is definitely the starting point tonight. So let's look secondly, maturing in our Christian life. It is through faith that we see the power of God at work in our lives. But it's adding to our faith that gives us the strong Christian life. Look at our text, verse 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound in you, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful for in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith is definitely the beginning. But now Peter says, listen, yes, we need to believe God, see miracles, but now we want to grow. We want to be more in God, want to see God, want to see the church mature. And he said, we got to add to our faith now. See, faith helps us see the power of God move in our lives, but it's the adding to it. Listen, I pastor a church, and I'm telling you, when you begin to add to, you know, you can't walk around and say, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. There's got to be some other things in you, right? When we add to our faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, we become strong believers. Amen. When you begin to add these elements to your faith tonight, listen, your Christian life begins to take shape. It begins to be strong, and you can begin to be fruitful. You know, when you make a cake, and I don't cook, but I watch my wife cook. You know, flour provides the structure. I've watched her, she puts the flour in. But when you add the sugar, the eggs, the milk, powdered baking powder, salt, it has texture and flavor then, right? Amen. So if she just gave me that pan with flour in it, I'd say, hey, watch this. But when she added everything else, put it in the oven, man, it comes out. You can smell the aroma of a cake, right? Amen. You can't wait to tear into it. And she gives me that piece of cake, but that's like our Christian life. If we have to be more than just I believe God. It's when all these things are added to our Christian life, amen, the church begins to really grow and be healthy and can really make impact in the community. Like I say, I pastor people, and we have conflicts sometimes in the church. And I know you don't have any here, but every once in a while we have some, you know, little conflict in the church, and it always comes down to the issue is just one's immature most of the time. I said, listen, you gotta forgive, and then you gotta begin to add to your faith some stuff, you know. And the reason a lot of Christians struggle in fruitfulness is because what it takes. Our scripture again, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness. That takes a lot of work, doesn't it? You know, a lot of Christians are just lazy today. Got to say that. A lot of Christians are lazy. They don't want to add anything. They don't want to take any responsibility. And they just want to throw up, I'm just going to believe God. Well, let's define that a little bit. But listen, if we're going to be a strong Christian, we got to add to our Christian life. Our faith needs some texture. Our faith needs some flavor. Our faith tonight, amen, needs us to take the word of God, as Peter says, add to it. And listen, you're going to be a very productive believer if you add to it. You know, it's one thing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, but it's quite another thing to have the fruit of the Spirit actively working in your life. Galatians 5:22 said the fruit of the Spirit. Said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's one thing to speak in tongues, but it's another thing to have these elements, right, working in your life, amen. And it's, listen, these elements work. Yeah, we love to praise God, speak in tongues, that's needed, but listen, we need these elements, the proof of it, the Spirit of God in us, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that what builds the church right there? Is that what makes the church strong? And Peter's looking at his church, and he said, listen, I thank God you can believe. I thank God that you want to see miracles. But listen, we need to get a little deeper now. Let's add to our Christian life. And then he talks about the Spirit of God. We don't need just speaking tongues, but we need the activity of the Spirit of God in our life. I've seen a lot of Christians speak in tongues, but fall way short of the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Right? You've seen it. Which goodness and kindness has kind of faded away a little bit. And, you know, when I have people in my church that got problems with each other, I go, oh, bring me these scriptures. And I say, what's fruit of the Spirit? What's a couple of them? Kindness, goodness, right? Let's practice that right now. Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, control yourself. And listen, I don't say that to insult them, I say that to ground them. Listen, if we can get a hold of that and anchor into this, listen, we can overcome all these issues. We can overcome problems, the church would be stronger. And that's what Peter's getting at here. And he said, listen, thank God for a faith-believing church, but listen, we need to add now. As believers, we have to add to our faith. Again, 2 Peter 1, 9 and 10. Because if we don't add this stuff, look what Peter says in verse 9 here. For if we lack these things, or he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Peter said, listen, the danger here is if we don't add to our faith, listen, we're going to lack. We're going to be short-sighted to blindness. Our goal as believers, Peter said, is to have faith and to add to our faith. Amen. The question is tonight, I can ask, do you have faith? And most of you say, yeah, I'm saved. I believe God. Let me ask, have you added to that faith? Have you added to it? Are you matured and are you maturing? Amen. Do you have texture? Do you have flavor to your Christian life that God would say, man, that's a good thing right there. So the third thing we're going to need, last thing, getting to close here, we need to have a surrendered will to God. And I think Peter put this in first, verse 1, because I believe it's the greatest need. Peter calls himself a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, a bond servant tonight is someone that freely chooses to serve. In the Old Testament, Exodus 21, it describes what a bond servant is. Back in those days, amen, the Israelites, they can have slaves among their family, among Jews, but they only had to serve 6 years as a slave. And slavery back in those days wasn't as we know today. It was really paying off the debt. We're going to work for you for 6 years to pay off a debt. And, but if they wanted, amen, if they loved their master, it said, and they wanted to stay working at that house as a bond servant, what they would do, the owner would take them to the doorpost of their house and pierce their ear through with an awl, and they'd put a ring in there, and that ring would tell everybody he volunteered to be a bond servant. A bond servant, I'm going to be a servant to this household forever. I made a decision, a conscious decision. He's good to me. He's good to my family. We're going to serve voluntarily. We're going to serve the rest of our life there. And that was the short, and Paul and Peter understand that he's a Jew. He's talking to Jews that understand what a bond servant is. And Peter starts out, he said, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter's declaring himself a bond servant of the Lord. Spiritually, he went to the doorpost, had his ear pierced, amen. And the ring is there and telling everybody, I'm a bond servant. Amen. A bondservant, again, is one who says, I'm here to serve God. I'm here to serve the church. I'm here to be a servant. I'm here, God, whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do it. That has to be in us somewhere, right? If we're going to live for God, if we're going to do the will of God, that has to be in us. God, I'm a bondservant. God, I'm here to do your will. I'm not here to do my own thing. I'm here to serve you, do your will. That's why I'm here. And that's what Peter's saying, I'm a bond servant of the Lord. Let me ask you, have you made that decision tonight? You know, after salvation, I believe this ought to be a decision. So, God, I'm here to serve. I'm here to do your will. I'm here to for your pleasure, God. Peter said, I don't have any backup plan. God, I'm all in on just being a bond servant. Then he said, I'm here, I'm an apostle as well. An apostle is simply a teacher or a leader. You can't have the reverse. You can't be, he didn't say, I'm an apostle and a bond servant. I'm a leader and I'm a bond. He said, leadership comes out of servanthood. As you begin to serve in the house of God, as you begin to prove yourself serving God and serving the church, God will raise you up. That's how God raises up leaders. Amen. Peter, remember, he was discipled by Jesus for three and a half years before he ever got a title. Amen. Are you here to serve tonight? Amen. We have to use faith. We have to add to our faith. But Peter says, lastly, and maybe the most critical, listen, we have to have that spirit of bond servant. We have to be here to serve. We're talking about growing God's house tonight, the church being enlarged, because one day this church is probably going to be 100, 150, 200 people. And listen, if you're going to get to that point, you have to have bond servants in the church. I probably got 15 or 20 people in my church. I thank God for all the time. I can call them to do anything, and they will do it. It's never, hey, Pastor, I'm busy. Hey, bother someone else. It's like, what do you need? What needs to be done? When does it need to be done? And I thank God because the church grows because of these people. I mean, the church is developing, is getting strong, not because I'm preaching so much, but because these bond servants in the house of God, these servers that have added to their faith, amen, they got some depth to their Christian life, the Spirit of God, all the elements of the Spirit is there working, and they're bond servants. And I'm telling you, our church is growing, and it's being strong because of this. Listen, every church needs bond servants tonight. You know, our text, Peter's older now. He's actually near death. He's about 65 years old in our text here. And his testimony at near death, I'm a bond servant. I'm a teacher. I'm a leader. What's your testimony tonight? Think of Peter, 65 years old. You know, he's going to be crucified. We know that's how he died. They say, some commentators say him and his wife died together, being crucified upside down beside each other. And that's how they go out. But his message to the church, I'm still a bond servant. Whatever God needs, whatever, I'm available. Is that your spirit tonight? Are you here to serve, help others? Verse 9 says, for he who lacks these things, let me capitalize this on a little bit more. I mentioned it earlier, is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his sins. If we're here just to be served, we forget. We forget what Jesus has done. We forget a lot of stuff. We become short-sighted. Short-sighted to blindness. This has to do how we see things. Short-sighted means unable to see things clearly. Unless you are relatively close, you can't see down the road. When you're short-sighted, amen, you can't see what God's doing. You can't see what your pastor is trying to do. You don't have any sight for a year down the road, 5 years down the road. It has to be right here where you can't see it. And the problem is, he said, when you lack these things, you're short-sighted to blindness. I got some people in my church, I love them, but they can't see 2 feet in front of them spiritually. And I love them. I'm their friend, but I'm not going to throw their name out there. But I just scratch my head sometimes. Man, you got to get this at some point. Because God wants you to see further than 2 feet. You know, when you're working with people, you got to see down the road a little bit. I know people can rub you wrong sometimes. New converts come in and they're sinners. You know, they come in, they're sinners. They have all these hiccups. You know, when you came in, you had all these problems, right? Sometimes we forget that. And you got to work with them. You got to work. They say things, they do things. They just got, hope nobody's seen that, right? But you got to be able to see down the road when you're working with them. And you got to be able to see 6 months down the road, a year down the road. They're not going to be like this anymore. You got to be able to see. And if you can't see any further, listen, you begin to hinder instead of being a blessing. Blindness, unable to see it all spiritually here. You don't get in it. You don't get nothing. Pastor preached that we're going to invest in world evangelism. We just sent somebody to Jamaica out of our church. It's costing $7,000 a month. That's a lot of money. So I'm preaching. I'm like, listen, we're taking a world evangelism pledge. This isn't just 1 month. This is month after month after month. It's going to be for years. I got a number of people in the church. They get it. We're involved in world evangelism. We got the flag on the wall. They're excited about it. We're praying for Dion and Tay Howard and their family. We're believing God for them. But we got some others. They can't see past 1 month. Why do we got to keep giving? Why do they got to keep eating? You know, they got to keep living in a house, you know. They got to keep living, having a church. We have to pay church rent over there. We have to pay the house rent. We have to give them finances to live on every month. But if you're blind spiritually, you can't see it. But thank God, man, we have a number of people that see it. And I believe there's a number of people here as well. But Peter declares himself a bond servant of the Lord before he said, I'm an apostle. You know how guys, it's a guy saying, we want to lead. Let me preach, Pastor. Just give me a shot. And I said, well, clean the toilets first. Learn how to clean the church, and maybe we might let you give a testimony behind the pulpit, right? Because they want to try to jump up and lead before anything else. I said, no, it doesn't work that way. Let's learn how to serve, learn how to work, learn how to do all these other things, because I don't want people just up there to preach something. I want them to have something in them. So when they preach, amen, they can say something. They got something to say. You know, Dion Howard and Tay, his wife, his children, before they went to Jamaica, he was our assistant for like 5 years and on staff. And he went around the fellowship. You may have heard the evangelistic revivals he did, the Walmart revivals. But just a server. Him and his family are a server. We have another couple in our church in Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria, Rome and Rosie Kovos. You pray for these couples. And again, it costs a lot of money for these couples to be there. So when somebody, not very often, but somebody will have, in the church, you know, why do we have to tithe for? What's tithe? I ain't talking about a brand new convert. I'm talking about somebody that knows better. They may have been in church for a while. And I said, you're still bucking against tithing? That's the beginning, man. I go, you know, I'll break it down. I'm nice. I'm a nice pastor, man. I'll break it down. Hey, listen, we tithe because this is the way God says we're to do it, but it runs the church. Our tithe runs the church, amen. Our tithe and offerings, amen, puts money in the church where we can actually do things. We can world evangelize. We can have the lights on church. We have a PA system. We can have a staff, amen, because we tithe and we give offerings. But it goes beyond that. Now we're committed to world evangelism, man. And thank God I have a number of people catching this, but amen. But Peter's trying to build a church here. And I believe that's what your pastor is doing tonight. It's what I'm doing. We're interested in building a church that's going to, if Jesus tarries another 100 years, that we're going to be on the right track, amen, raising up disciples, launching churches, and doing something powerful for God. But the challenge is tonight, as I begin to close this up, one, you're going to have to begin to live by faith. As I mentioned, tithing, it takes a step of faith. I remember me and my wife were saved probably about 2 or 3 weeks, and I kept hearing this word tithing, and I go, what is that word? What is that? So my pastor told me what it is, and I go, I can do that. And when I first got saved, I'm talking way back now, I made $6.80 an hour. And so and my wife wasn't working at the time, so we're talking about $180 a week I made. So we would, every payday, put our bills on the table, money on the table. Nothing matched up. Our bills would always be more. Then I got a tithe on top of this. I ain't going to make it. There's no way I can make it. But, you know, we decided by faith, we're going to believe God. We're going to start tithing. We begin to give 10% of that paycheck to the Lord, to the church. And miracles happened. Every month we made it. On paper, it didn't make sense, but all of our bills were paid. We ate, amen, and was able to tithe them. We said, we're going to start giving offerings now. We started giving offerings on top of that. That's using our faith. As we begin to serve God, we had to begin to add to all this stuff. We begin to have to be a mature believer now. The Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, we had to begin to allow it to move in us. Then lastly, we had to be a bond servant. We're here to serve. And I'm telling you, if you get this tonight, if you get it, I'm telling you what, this church can grow 50 people next week. It can grow 50 people in a month, or if you can get this tonight. Now, I ain't saying you don't have it, but God told me to preach this, so I'm trusting that God knows what he's talking about a little bit tonight. Right? God knows more than we know. But I want to challenge you tonight, listen, to get some faith, to add to that faith, and be a servant tonight, and let God do the rest. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight we're going to believe God to help us. You're here tonight, maybe this is your first time coming to church. Wasn't a salvation message, but let me say, Jesus loves you, cares about you, died for your sins, has a plan for your life. If you're not right with God tonight, listen, sin is a dangerous road to be on. What sin is just simply disobedience to God. When Eve sinned in the garden, it wasn't that she went out and smoked dope and drank beer and started cussing. It's simply she disobeyed God. And that's where sin starts, with just simply disobeying God. I grew up in church, and I knew a little bit about, I knew church language. I didn't ever know about being born again, serving God, but I knew some. But I remember as a young guy growing up, disobeying God many times. Disobeying knew what was right. Your conscience, I talked about this morning, is God's gift to us to help us do right. But as I begin to get older, you know, sin got deeper and deeper. Sin's destructive tonight. It's not your friend. Immorality, drugs, alcohol, disobedience to God. I mean, these are things that destroy life. And maybe you're in sin tonight. You're not right with God. Listen, don't stay on that trail. It's a dangerous road. People die all the time on that road. The Bible said the wide road, that road of destruction, leads to death. And maybe that you're on that road tonight. Listen, you can be right with God in a moment's time. The Bible says you got to repent. Repentance is just making a decision to turn to Jesus. Turn away from sin, turn to the Lord. At 19 years old, right before I turned 20, I surrendered my life to Jesus. Asked Jesus to come into my heart. I felt him cleanse me. At that altar, I felt a miracle take place in my life. I rose up from that altar, a new man, began to live for God. Listen, if you're in sin tonight, that's the answer. You need to repent. And if you repent, listen, a miracle will start in your life. And God will begin to move and help you. So you're not right with God. You want my prayer. You want to ask Jesus to forgive you. You want to ask Jesus to come into your heart and life. I want you to raise your hand very quickly. Pastor Mitchell, Pastor Seuss, I need a miracle tonight. Here's my hand. Raise your hand. God's dealing with your heart. God's dealing with your heart. I see this little boy's hand. God bless you. What about you adults, mom, dads, teenagers? God's dealing with your heart. Listen, when you die, it's heaven or hell. If you're not right with God, you're going to go straight to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, but listen, sin always leads to that place. But listen, God wants to save you. God wants to do a miracle tonight. Unsaved, you'd raise your hand very quickly. I'd love to pray with you. Raise it up. Come on, raise it up right up. God's dealing with your heart. God's speaking to you. The uncomfortable feeling you got in your heart right now. Listen to God. Allow God to touch you. What if your life ended tonight? What if something happened? Went to eternity tonight? Could happen to any of us. Where would you go? One more time. You want my prayer? Want to give your life to Jesus? Raise your hand very quickly. Very quickly. Maybe you're backslidden. You're away from God. You want to come back home? Raise your hand very quickly. Okay, let me talk to the church for a few moments. First, it starts off with faith. And God gives us faith, and when we give our life to Jesus, listen to that, the faith seed is opened up. But man, we got to begin to add to that faith. We got to let God begin to work in us. Then lastly, we got to be bond servants. So I want us all to stand tonight, and I want to challenge you, come out of your seat, stand, let's all stand together. Help me out tonight. Let's all stand. I want to open up the altars once you come. Maybe you need some faith tonight. Maybe you need to make a decision. I'm going to add to my faith. I'm going to read 2 Peter and I get home myself. 1 Peter chapter 2 and begin to add these things. I'm going to begin to be a responsible Christian. I'm filled with the Spirit. I speak in tongues, but the fruit of the Spirit. Man, I need it to be alive in me. Begin to make decisions up here tonight. That's what prayer is. Prayer's words. You're praying to God. It's making decisions. Oh, Lamb of God, I pray tonight, God, you'd move. We begin to sing a song. God, I pray, move on every heart, every life at this altar tonight. God, I pray, speak, God, you would move. God, faith would be active, be alive here tonight. God, would add to that faith virtue, kindness, love. Oh, God, I pray, God, help us. God, your name be glorified here at this altar tonight. Decisions are being made. God, you'd bless this church. Oh, Lamb of God, hallelujah, Jesus.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. is my daily bread. This is my daily bread.
Giving praise tonight. God, we love you. God, we worship your mighty name. Oh, God, we thank you. God, we worship your mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve a good God, don't we? I think about what God did, amen, the day I heard the gospel. I mean, I'm partying, separated from wife, getting ready to get divorced, living with six guys. I mean, we're having a party every night. If I'm not having it, somebody else. It's just, that's all it was. One long party. But God sent somebody to my house at midnight and told me about Jesus. I mean, that's a miracle. That's how much God loves us. Amen. That God will send somebody in the darkest hour. Amen. And so when I got saved, I mean, I didn't understand everything I understand now when I got saved. But I got saved, I said, I'm serious about this. Man, God, I knew God saved me. God spared my life. I knew where I was headed. And man, my pastor began to preach. And I just began to hang on to words. I'm not saying I do anything different than you. But, I just began to hang on to them words. I was so desperate for something real, something I can hang on to. And my life began to change. But as you serve God for a while, the challenge is, again, what Peter's telling his church, hey, you got to add to it now. You got to begin to serve. You got to begin to labor. We got a guy in our church right now. His name's Christian Stevens. Chris Stevens. And hard life, broken life, man. Just been in the system, been in cycle wards. I mean, just years of his life's been in just locked up. And suffers mentally, different things. And he gets saved. I mean, this guy is such a miracle. His mind, you can talk to him, his mind's there now. I mean, he's making decisions. And I'm like, a miracle of God. I'm watching this guy. I mean, he's incredible. He's there every morning prayer with me. And he don't live far from the church, but he goes, Pastor, I heard you pray anymore. I said, yeah, absolutely I do. He goes, can I come with you? He's there every morning. He's been saved for about probably 3 or 4 months now. And he comes every morning prayer. He hears about outreach, come to outreach. And I mean, but I'm like, he's all worth it. He's all worth it right there. Somebody like that is just worth it. You see this guy, he's developing, he's doing good in church. And he came to me the other day. He made a little money. He's out mowing grass. He gave me $20. Somebody gave him $20. And he says, Pastor, can you hold this for me? I don't want to spend it. I said, yeah. But he's walking off. He goes, oh, Pastor, he goes, take my tithe out of that and put it in the offering plate. And I go, thank God. I didn't say it out loud, but I said, thank God, my spirit. Here's a guy, man. He knows where he's totally messed up. When he first came to church, he was a wreck. And God saved him. I mean, now he's getting it. He's getting it. I mean, when he stopped me, he said, hey, make sure, Pastor, you pay my tithe out of that. I said, praise the Lord, man. That's what we look for. That's what we want. And church, I'm telling you, people are going to begin to come in these doors. I feel this church is about ready to explode in revival. You're going to see some good growth here. God's going to move, but it's going to take people here that what Peter's talking about here, man, that you can reach these people. You reach them through serving and through being an example and through loving them. And I'm telling you, if you do that, man, I'm telling you, the rewards are great when you see people saved and make it. So I want to lead you through a prayer. Now, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to lead you through a prayer. And I believe God will help us tonight as we pray. I want to say, Jesus, I come to you tonight. I repent, God, for all the foolishness, all the disobedience I've given my life to. God, I'm asking you, help me do what's right. God, speak to me. Help me live by faith tonight. God, whatever you speak, help me to believe that and begin to activate that in my life as Noah did, not knowing all the details, but God, you said it, I'm going to do it. God, help me begin to add to my faith. Help me be a strong, a fruitful believer. God, help me be a servant in the house of God. I pray this tonight. God, and I believe you in Jesus' name. Let's give him praise tonight. God, we do love you tonight. Oh, God, we thank you. God, we worship your mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I forget your name, brother. I gave you a word today. Won't you and your wife come on up here? Won't you guys come on up here? And now you're going to embarrass me. I'm putting you on the spot. But he asked me a question earlier about you know, what did it all mean? About God speaking to him and stuff like that. God's got a big plan for you guys. And I know you probably can't see it yet. But listen, you keep making right decisions. You're going to begin to see this man. You'll begin to see him become a man of God, man of faith, and you're going to be challenged to follow him. All right? I ain't saying you don't, but that's going to be your challenge, is to believe God, believe in your husband as God begins to develop him, and you're going to have to do some things, you know? I mean, to make her follow you, you know, make her believe in you, trust you. But if you just begin to develop, listen to God and develop, I'm telling you what, God's got a great plan for you guys. And so I'm not going to say what it is. I just want you to develop. Your pastor can tell you later, but I'm sure he sees it. But I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God help you, God speak to you, and you guys will do what God says to do, and you guys will have a surrendered heart to God. If you do that, man, God's going to begin to surprise you. You're going to begin to look at your life and say, wow, look what God's doing, man. And me and my wife still do it every once in a while. We look at each other, you believe what we're doing? I mean, we've been to Africa twice. We've been preached around the world, different places. I mean, we come from a little small town, Kansas. We look at each other like, can you believe what we're doing for God? And if I'm going to pray for you, raise your hands. Church, just pray. Raise your hands. Father, I pray by the Holy Ghost right now. God, your hand be upon this couple. God, let every word I spoke, God, come true. God, let it bear fruit tonight. Raise up this couple in the house of God here. God, give them surrendered hearts, obedient hearts. God, they hear your word, surrender to that word. God, I pray, help them, God, in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. Let's give God praise again. Father, we worship your mighty name. God, we thank you in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. You can go be seated. You can go back. Yeah. Amen. I want to pray for disciples tonight. Amen. There's men here that you see your pastor preaching and say, man, I want that. I want that. I want to do that. That's you. I want you to come up here. It's not all of you, but I mean, God, I mean, you see there's something burning in your heart. I want to do that. That's some calling going on. So if that's you, I want you to come up here. We got any men here? Okay, there's one. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Only takes one to light a fire, right? Amen. Can you understand me? Or you need to interpret? Okay. Yeah. Oh, you're interpreting. Okay. So what God's doing in your heart right now, God's lighting a fire, so to speak. And let it burn. Let it burn. I've watched my pastor, Dennis Wright, and I got to say that. I'd watch him preach, and my heart would burn. I want to do that one day. Not that I just wanted to be up here preaching to people. I just see his love for God, his passion for people, and just his zeal wanting to do something for God. I said, I want that. But God began to speak to me. If you do what he does, it's not going to be an easy trail, but if you do what your pastor does, listen, God will develop that heart in you. And God will raise you up, and God's going to, do some great things through your life, okay? So I want you to raise your hands. Put your hands up. Put them all the way up. Amen. Let me pray for you. Surrender to Jesus. Hands up. Father, I pray right now by the Holy Ghost, my brother, God, touch him tonight. God, I pray, God, stir his heart. God, give him the faith. God, give him the courage. God, to latch hold of what his pastor is doing. God, he'd surrender life to you. God, use him. God, develop him, I pray tonight. God, your hand be upon his life. Use him powerfully in Jesus' name. God bless you, amen. So I mentioned last night, I think, somebody had a, amen. I mentioned last night somebody had pain in their shoulders or neck. I still feel it tonight. Is there anybody here, you got pain in your neck, your shoulders, you want me to pray for you? Okay, it's you. Why didn't you come up last night? No. No, I'm kidding. Mess with you. It's your back. Okay. Okay. Okay, there's another one. Okay. Back, where's your pain? In your shoulder? Okay. Why didn't you come up last night? Yeah. Yeah, so well, praise God you're here tonight. So believe God can heal you. How many's never seen a miracle? You never seen a physical miracle? Never seen leg grow out, arm grow out, anything like that. Here's one on this little lady here. Okay. Anyone else? You've never seen a miracle. Okay, okay. Anyone else? If you've never seen a miracle, I want you to stand behind these men here. I want you to come up here. You've never seen a miracle? So stand up here. Because the first time I seen a miracle changed the way I believe forever, man. Okay? So what I want is a couple strong men to move this for me. Move this out of the way for me. Yeah, a couple guys, move this pulpit out of the way. Okay. Yeah, bring me a chair up here, Pastor, if you can. Oh, I got it right here. Okay. Okay, you got one. All right. I got it here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to test our brother here. Why don't you go ahead and sit down here? A lot of times when somebody has a back injury, their muscles and stuff is kind of twisted, so always one leg shorter than the other. So what happens if God heals him, the leg will grow out, the pain will be gone, right? You in pain?
Strange enough. Before I came in here,
it went away. But okay. Okay, but the injury is still there, whatever. Okay. We'll see. Amen. Anybody else? You guys ever seen a miracle? They're sitting there looking at me. You guys ever seen a miracle? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Hips all the way in the back. Okay. Let me see your legs here. Let me see them. Pull them up here. Come on, help me. I'm getting older here. Okay, I'm going to have you turn around here. Go ahead and get up. Okay. I want you, because that was that leg. That's what I wanted you to. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Let me see. Bring it up to me. Well, not that much difference, but you see that little bit of difference there? Come here, you never seen one. Come on. You're going to see it over there. You're going to have to stand over here. Okay. Okay. You see that, the difference? Not a whole lot, but it's a little bit. It's enough to cause problems. How much difference do you think, sir? Look at the heels. Come on, talk to me. How much difference? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to pray for him. God heals him. That leg's going to grow out. It's going to be even with the other one. You believe God can do it? So the only way you can see the miracle, you got to keep your eyes open, okay? I want you to watch this. I want you to say, Jesus, I ask you right now. I ask you right now for a miracle in my back. The blood of Jesus heals me. The blood of Jesus makes me whole. In Jesus' name. Well, the blood of Jesus, I pray right now, God, for a miracle in his body. In Jesus' name. Okay. I want you to stand up. That was okay. Just do what I do. Put your feet together like this, hands all the way. Bring them together. Okay. Hey, bring them together and just hold them, okay? Hold them, okay? See, it's a little different there. Leg really didn't move, so I wanted to see if it's in your upper body. Okay, so I'm just going to hold your hand. We're going to believe God again. So I want you to see it. Someone say, Jesus, I ask you right now, got a miracle of God in my back, my shoulder. God, I believe you for a miracle. In my body, the blood of Jesus heals me, sets me free. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on out all the way. Jesus, see it? Starting to move. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah. See it? Came all the way out there. Did I pull your arm? Didn't pull your arm? See it come out? So test yourself. See if there's any pain, anything going on there. tell everybody what happened.
Tell everyone happened?
Huh?
Like what the happened? Feet part or the arms?
No, the arm part.
His arms slowly started to move.
Started to move, didn't it? Come out. I just did. You see it?
See?
Yeah. God's a miracle worker. All right. Okay, thank you. Let me pray for you. Where's the other brother? Come on up here. All right. Do the same thing. Stand right there. Face me. Put your feet together. Feet together. You don't want to make it as straight as you can, okay? Put your hands straight out. Put them together. And just let them, no, all the way out. Yeah, let them fall where they fall. All the way out. Man, you're a big guy, man. Oh, the muscles trying to squeeze it. Amen. Huh? Oh, you got surgery. Okay, why don't you sit down there? With Dylan again. Okay, hips all the way in the back. Okay, let me see your legs here. All right, let me see your foot here. Okay, do you see that? That's a big difference. So, who didn't see the first miracle? You want to see this one? I want you to stay here. I want you to see it. Did you guys get see? Did you see him? I want you to see it. Okay. Believe God to heal you? I can't heal anybody. I'm just like you, but I believe God. I've seen God heal a lot of people. God's going to heal you. You believe that? Okay. So let me see your legs again. I'm going to squeeze them together just so people can see it, but God's going to have to grow it out. You see that? Anybody got a camera? They want to check this out?
Okay.
You have to get on that side. Yeah, get on this side. Come out over here. Come maybe back over here. I don't want you to block anybody's view, but be a good one. I want to say, Jesus, I believe you right now for a miracle in my back. The blood of Jesus heals my body, sets me free. In Jesus' name, I command all pain to be gone. In Jesus' name. Amen. See that? Wow. I want you to test your back. Your arms, shoulders, whatever hurt, test it out and see what happened. Did you get that on camera? Yeah. Huh? What's different? Anything different?
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, your leg grew up about that far, so God did a work there, so now you just have to believe God for the rest, all right? So, you see that? What happened?
Sí.
¿Qué pasó?
Yeah. All right. You know why I do that? And you know why I do that? If God can do something like that, he can do all kinds of other miracles in our life. If God can make your leg grow out, listen, he can bless your finances. He can heal your marriage. He can touch your mind. He can do all these other miracles too. Because sometimes we have a hard time believing for ourselves. But when we see something like that, I tell you, it gives us faith. And it challenges us to believe God, right? Amen. So that's all I got tonight. Been a great church to preach to this week. I appreciate all of you. Pastor, why don't you come? Amen.